Praise God. Well, we're heading back over tonight to Keys to the Move of God. We'll have to see which way the Lord wants to go tonight. I don't know. We'll have, we looked last week, we opened with Luke 19, and we talked about looking at Israel there where Jesus, and they call his triumphant entrance into Jerusalem, came in, but he stopped and it said, you know, he wept over the city because they didn't know the time of their visitation. And this is one thing is, you know, God's not holding things and wisdom and what he's doing from his people. If we look through the scripture, he never did. I mean, if you take of any of the calamities or anything Israel ever went through, they were warned decades and decades ahead. You know, God's always revealing himself. You know, some people say, well, you know, God don't always show. Yes, he does. Just, it's this. We don't listen a lot. But there's one thing about things ahead that God shows. And there's one thing as I learn about him in my personal life. Anything that concerns me, he always reveals to me. Always. Always. He doesn't hide things away. You know, just like over the years, and like I watch people where, you know, they have said things is going to happen, this is going to go on. And I thought, well, God's never spoken to me about that. And that concerns me. And he talks to us individually. You know, too many times, especially, we have people, a lot of people today, they talk about the prophetic. I don't know what on earth they mean by it. Because they, you know, these people don't stand in the prophet's ministry. They use the term prophetic, you know, we're prophetic, and I don't know what on earth that means, we're prophetic. You know, you're either into the word, know the word, or you don't, and prophetic don't change a darn thing. But if you study the things, you know, if you just study the word as individuals and you study the word, you don't have to be a prophet or so-called prophetic. In fact, I found out most of the groups that all this prophetic stuff are usually wrong about things. They usually read things by the natural of what they see going on. And you can't, that isn't how you follow God. You can't know God following natural things. You know, it's like people make these statements and they say, well, you know, God in nature and you can see God. Because the scripture does say, you know, you can see there's a God because of nature. But it never says you can know God by seeing things. You can tell there's a God by creation. But you can't know God by creation. You know, there's one thing, you know, there's a, say like a guy like Henry Ford, you know, and he built the Model T's and he started them off, but the Model T wasn't Henry Ford. You couldn't know Henry Ford by looking at Model T's. Well, this is why people today get into these things and they go into this stuff and they try to know God looking at nature. You can't do it. You know, that isn't the way you know God. And we know God through faith and through the Word. The Holy Spirit reveals it to us. And the Word of God is different than anything else. It's alive. It is living. It's not something that it's just, it's naturally studied like men do and all kinds of other subjects and things. This is God's revelation to us. And, it's a wonderful treasure, the Bible is, because it's God's personal revelation to mankind, to us. I mean, I've heard some people use the thing that this is God's love letter to us. You know, this is. I mean, if you don't study the Word, then you're not going to really know much about God, and really you're not going to get to ever be personally with Him. What do you think? I mean, God went to all the trouble to have men, keep these writings. It's an amazing thing. I mean, people study, if you think over the periods of time, all the study and things people do and archaeologists to find things so they can tell about the past, this book has been had down through all these years. It didn't get lost under the dirt somewhere. It didn't. That never happened to it. All the centuries that God's Word has passed down through, it was carried on. When they came along the Dead Sea Scrolls, they thought, because they had writings like Isaiah they found in different ones. Really no difference in what we have today. It wasn't changed. Now, that's not natural. That's, you know, right. It's not. You know, you can't pass on in a room in 10 minutes time, pass something on from person to person that will get changed to where somebody. Right. This is something God. This is a move of God. And it was given to us. And, I just believe in its accuracy. Anybody else can say anything once. It's one thing. It's proved out in my life. So if somebody wants to believe something else, go ahead, have a big time. But I ain't going there. You know, this has worked for me, and so I'm staying with what works. Now, tonight is one thing is dealing with the visitation. So God's not hiding from it. And in the Word, we can find out God doesn't change. The Scripture says so. He changes not. So if He doesn't change, we can follow the things that He did in Scripture. We can tell that how He does things, which is a wonderful thing, you know. Now, when we come to, you know, God doesn't change. He wasn't able to give certain revelations under the law to people. It wouldn't have done them any good. They couldn't have walked in it anyhow. The New Testament reveals, really, God becomes more real to man in the New Testament more than He ever was. In the New Testament is really where you really get to see the fullness of God's character and really in the fullness of the love of God. You get to see what He really is. I mean, you think the salvation of man, the fact that Jesus, God sent Jesus to take the sin of the whole world. And so we have the gospel that we preach is God's not holding sin against man. That's a phenomenal thing. That is an, what a revelation, which is not preached to people. That's one of the most glorious revelations of the Bible. Jesus' resurrection is nothing if without that.
Amen.
The whole point of it is God's not holding sin. Because of what He did, God doesn't hold sin against them. We say, yeah, He does. You got to confess your sin. If you want to get saved, you got to. It's like they go through all this. No. We're supposed to tell people, God's not holding your sin against you.
Amen.
What a story. Now, if you think about, if you wanted to have reason to, there would surely be good reason to hold everybody's sin against them. It would be a good, but you know, it's a phenomenal thing that God did to mankind. And so, understanding this God, He has a great future for everyone. God's will was not done in Israel. God had a future for Israel that they refused, and God handed that future to the Gentiles. The Gentiles became the carriers of the gospel and not the Jews. The Jews were, they were the ones supposed to carry the gospel. These were the ones, this was the nation, this was supposed to be God's, but these were going to be God's people. But they refused it because they didn't know the time of their visitation. They didn't understand what God was doing. And it wasn't because God wasn't revealing all the prophecies and all the things that were written about God's plan. And what man did and what they did is they tried to understand them through the natural mind. They tried to figure all the stuff out. Yep. Instead of just saying, hey, you see this? God said this. I don't have to figure it out. He said it. You know, this is it. No, man instead tries to carry his ideas and thoughts into it. And like Kenneth Hagin taught, and I picked it up, and I believe it's really a good revelation from a man. He said, God gives word a man word, and they make a sentence. You know, it's like, no, just stick with the word. Don't make anything. Just take it for what he said. You don't have to add to. I mean, just think about the book of Revelation. It ends with, if anybody adds to or takes away from this thing, well, let me tell you, there's been a ton added to and a ton taken from. Because people just do it. I mean, it's always trying to reason with the mind. Tonight we're going to Matthew 16. There's a wonderful revelation here. And especially you and I as Christians, if we're going to understand the move of God, we got to understand how God moves in the earth. What does He do? If there's keys to God's move, well, then how does He do it? What does He do in the earth? We know that so many of much of Christianity has the idea, you know, God's in control and he's running everything and he's doing everything. It is such nonsense. I mean, we can obviously, you know, from the natural, you can tell that ain't working. It's like people say, God's in control. And then they say, pray for me. I just look at him and say, well, why? God's in control. What would I pray for you for? Why? I mean, what's the point? Why would we pray if God's in control? It's going to turn out the way He wants it. Isn't that right? He's in control. You see, it doesn't, nothing makes any sense in that. If we did naturally, you know, we would never get involved in anything with our schools or anything like that or our politics. Just let it all go. God's in control. There's actually groups that do that. God's in control. So a lot of the ones, I mean, many years ago, a lot of the Mennonites were like that, and a lot of the plain people. You know, they didn't, well, you know, God's running things. He wants somebody in government. They're going to get there. That's how it's going to work. And they just ignored everything. They didn't do nothing. And things really turned out well for them too. So, I mean, it's just, that complained and didn't like certain things and say, why? It's God's control. You ought to love it. It's a lot of bad things happen to you. You ought to be thanking God because it's His control. You know? Why would you want something different? You know, it's His perfect will for you. So we don't want to go there. Now, in Matthew 16, verse 13, there's a revelation. And this is the revelation, and really to this day, this revelation stands. We're going to find out here in verse 13. It says, when Jesus came into the region of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, who do men say I, the Son of Man, am? So they said, some say John the Baptist, some say Elijah, others Jeremiah, or one of the prophets. And He said to them, but who do you say I am? Simon Peter answered, said, you are the Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus answered and said to him, blessed are you, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father, which is in heaven. So in other words, this is a revelation was given to him by God, that who Jesus was. And this is one of the reasons we preach the gospel to people, because so people know who Jesus was. This revelation, because Jesus went on to say to him, he said to Peter, he said, and I say to you that you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades, or as King James says, hell, shall not prevail against it. Now, he told him, Peter, he didn't build the church on Peter. The name Peter is a stone. He said, on this rock, this word rock is the word you would make as a big, huge, enormous, like a cliff, like maybe the Matterhorn or something like that. It's an enormous, in other words, the rock. Well, what was the rock? He said, this is Peter's revelation that he got, that Jesus is the Messiah. The Christ is the Messiah. The word Christ is the Greek translation for the word Messiah. So Jesus is the Messiah. That revelation is the church is built on. Jesus is God's Messiah. God's Messiah is Lord. See, when you get people reading the Christ, you got to bring people and let them know who Jesus is. Jesus is God's Messiah. Jesus is not a nice guy. He's not some, you know, just Jesus was God's Messiah sent to the earth to deliver all humanity. The basis and foundation of Christianity is that. The Bible is completely worthless if Jesus was not the Messiah. It's completely worthless. In fact, the whole thing's a lie if He wasn't. See, Israel is still waiting for their Messiah. And as long as they wait for the Messiah, they're in a lot of trouble. Because it ain't until the Messiah comes that man can be delivered. They don't believe He's here. And they don't have deliverance. The only way that people can get delivered is through Jesus Christ, who is the Messiah. The gates of hell cannot prevail against that revelation. You find this out if you've ever, I don't know if you've ever been around or knowing anybody and dealing with people that are demon-possessed. Lots of times, if you say to them that Jesus Christ came in the flesh, they will say He didn't come in the flesh. You see, they stand against the revelation that the Messiah came. Satan will always operate against that. See, we deal like with things and people, you know, talk about here, whether it's here in our country or wherever. The reason the devil is against Christianity so much, it doesn't have to do with you. It has to do with this revelation. Believing on Jesus Christ and who He is how men get saved. The church turned it into asking to forgive you your sin. You don't get saved by the revelation of who Jesus is. You get saved by confessing your sin. I'm sorry, that isn't how it works. It doesn't work that way. It's the revelation. And that revelation is the church is built on, because we go to verse 19. This here, which is said 19, Jesus said, then after He said to people, in other words, this revelation, This, because of this revelation, He said, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Because, see, when we came into the kingdom, we got the keys of the kingdom of heaven. And He's going to tell us really the foundation. Keys, we talk about, what are keys for? They're to lock and unlock things. The keys are, the church has in the earth. We need to get that for ourselves and understand. It isn't whatever Jesus Christ has, the church has. The scripture's clear that we have received his inheritance. Whatever he has, we have. The head don't have something the body don't have. But most of the church believes it is the exact opposite. Jesus, he has this or he has that, and we don't. But then there isn't really a head and a body. Jesus is something other than, but he's not. But he said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom. And here are the keys he's going to tell you. What does he say about the keys that are going to be given? And whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Who did he say he was going to give the keys to? See, the church got the keys. But basically, the church does not use the keys. And in fact, you know, look at this and studying this. I don't know anybody who, well, I've never met anybody who ever really walks in the fullness of this revelation. They walk in the fullness of this. These are things that the church would do well if they'd spent large amount of times meditating and really talking about this. Is this really true? Is this really a truth? If it is, it's one of the most phenomenal things there are. And, it's not one of the things is most people's prayer lives would be completely changed. We wouldn't be beggars trying to get God to do stuff all the time. See, when people get the idea of prayer, prayer is not just this, you know, going talking to God, trying to get something, this whole idea about prayer. Because when you really deal from the answer to prayer, prayer is about a conversation, about talking. Well, it's like when we ask God, you know, you think about it, Jesus said, you know, when we ask in prayer, he says, believing we receive, we're going to have it. In other words, most people praying are asking for things, but they never believe they receive it. I get it because of my authority. When I declare my authority to receive it, that's my authority. See, keys deal with authority. Whoever holds the keys has the authority. If Jesus is holding his authority and he just holds it and we don't have it, what good is it? It is no value. There's no value if we don't have the authority. Then the statement made in here in verse 19 is might sound nice, but it'd be pretty well worthless. See, you and I have the authority. We have the keys. We design what we want to loose or what we want to bind here. Now, let's say in doing this, this isn't so you can go make up your own ideas and things. You need to know the Word of God. What is God? You know, we talk about doing the will of God. Well, most Christians don't do the will of God, even if they think they know about binding and loosing. Because they're always trying to do their thing and doing whatever. Now, what does God want to do? See, the more I know Jesus, you know, it's like anybody. Like, you know, the more, like, say, as years of living with Wanda, I know more and more. I know a lot of times how she'll react to something. Well, do you really know how God will react to something? There's things I'll learn about him over the years, and I'm going to tell you what. Somebody does, people do so. I know what his reaction is going to be. I know what his reaction is. I know him well enough to know how he's going to react to things. Most people don't know. They're not sure about him. The average Christian ain't even sure about the love of God.
That's right.
They just as well think he'd throw them under the bus. As anyway, you know, it just, they think he's a lot like they are. Thank God he's not. All right. He is incredible to know what he's like on things. People don't know because they don't know the word. So if I really don't know the will of God well, probably I would use my authority to my own detriment a lot. That's why you want to learn the word of God. You want to learn God's will. Because why? Well, do I want to do things that are just my will, or do I want to do his will? Is his will perfect, or is mine better? You know, because why would God have us studying the Word and things? There's one thing as I learned about this over the years, where God has done this to me, where I've talked to him about certain things, about I see that there needs to be a change or something done, and the Lord has said to me, well, what do you want done about it? He asked me. But I've learned this over the years. He asked me because he knows this concerning the situation. I know things about the Word in that area. See, if you, he ain't going to do that to you. If you don't know. See, many people ask God to do things, but it's really not in his will to do them because they really don't see, they don't really know how things ought to be done. We have a lot of that where Christians are doing things. So it's like Israel. Even God told them how it's going to turn out if they got a king and we still want one. Yeah. They didn't think it was going to work out really that bad. They didn't really think it was going to. They were never in the perfect will of God again after that. David wasn't the perfect will of God. The perfect will of God, they had never had a king. See, thank God, God was able to do as much as he can through certain ones, but yeah, they had a lot of messy ones. They had a lot of bad ones. A lot of Jews died over that stuff. And so we need this one that you want to learn the will of God. The more you understand it, the more you can cooperate with God in the earth to take your authority, to walk in it. It's sort of like, you know, like when I worked at Reese Candy Company and department I was in, people who worked under me, there were people that you didn't have to hardly ever bother them much on their job. Things come up, they knew what to do, they knew how to handle it, they did that. You could let them go, then there's other people, you had to be over them all the time and everything. You know, they couldn't do nothing themselves and they made a decision it was going to be trouble. You know, they never paid attention to what was going on, they never learned things well, they did that, and so it didn't work out. You need to understand about God this standpoint. I've always looked at the fact, God, when the church, it's like handing, he handed the church this authority. It's like handing a baby a handgun. You know, it's just, and it's loaded, and you know, there's one in the chamber. And Christians, over the years, have shot themselves so many times. They shoot themselves and shoot themselves and shoot themselves. And things. And you know what? God still loves us, and he tried to work with us. He's amazing. He's healed so many gunshot wounds from people who did it to themselves. And, and you know, he is phenomenal. But the idea, I mean, just think about it. He tells Peter here what he's going to do, and Peter's going to be a guy who denies him. Does he throw Peter under the bus? I mean, are these the guys you want to give this kind of authority to? He does. It's phenomenal. He does. It's amazing. So every Christian has this authority. Amen. Most never use it. A lot use it who don't do it well. And the rest of us, we're trying to take some shots at it to do it right. And that's what we want to do. It's things you're going to grow up into. It's number one, you want to learn to be, you know, you don't want to be a person. You just over and your will means a lot to you. You want to have a very submissive will to God if you want to be. Because it's just like when I learned the first time the Lord asked me in a situation, I talked to him about it. And he said to me, well, what would you like to have done? It really startled me. I just, what do I want? Well, that made me stop and think. You know, then I stopped and I thought, well, what would be the best in this situation? So I talked to the Lord about that. And he said, if you want that done, he said, I'll do it. I said, well, that's good. 3 days, it happened just like I said, identical to what I said it happened to. Identical. Well, but you have to know, understand this thing. And that's why it's thinking about, like, lots of times people don't do good sense in praying for other people because they don't think 2 minutes. They think about what they want of outcome. Their outcome isn't really always the best for the person. It's what they feel would be the best for them. You know, because I don't want them annoying me. You know, I just... I know you've never been there. That's just... But what is really the best for them? What is? You think about that. See, this is part about growing up is what is the best, you know. Is we've gotten away from that in our culture in America. It's everybody likes, you know, what is the easiest and the best. Sometimes the best isn't the easiest way to go. It's not easy. And that's just, I mean, that's life. You know, some things are require a whole lot more to do. And this is one of the things about growing up, because growing up spiritually is really not different from growing up physically, you know, and that stuff. And people, you know, we train people to, they're supposed to grow up. It's like people say today, well, you know, people, you know, don't have common sense. Well, no wonder they don't teach it. I hear people talk about people not having common sense, and they're one of the people who don't teach it. They don't teach their own family and things, the things and doing it. They let their kids get away with stuff they should never, they don't have common sense. Don't worry, your kids are going to grow up and not have common sense too. Common sense isn't common. It's taught. It don't fall on you. It just don't happen. It doesn't work that way. And so this is a powerful thing to whatever we bind here on earth. Heaven will get behind. Whatever we loose. In other words, what do we want here? You know, we look like, say, just the Lord's Prayer. You know, God's will done on earth like it is in heaven. 90% of the church has no clue what that means. You ask 90% of the church, they would never think about having heaven here on the earth. There'd never be a thought in their mind. Yet they go through the things. They even sing the Lord's Prayer. They go through all this motion. But it's nothing but really faithless motion. Produces nothing. And it's one of those things. Well, what you let on this earth, heaven ain't going to do nothing about it. It's your baby. Quit asking God to change a lot of things. When are you going to stand up and say, okay, we ain't letting this go on no more?
Amen.
Now, God, you ought to do something. And he says, excuse me, I gave you the authority.
That's right.
You know, you have it.
Amen.
You got the authority. What are you going to do about it?
Thank you, Lord.
So, you know, this is a huge amount of responsibility. This is an enormous responsibility. But the church talks about this stuff pretty lax in this area. Because, you know, everybody, we want a good life, but there's one thing you're going to have. It's going to take some work to do it. Mm-hmm. It takes some work. It takes time. And people, you know, and a couple of decades ago, they started this thing about, I'm so busy. And I knew it. Things are going to get terrible. Things are going to get bad. Because everybody's so busy. And the busy people are never spending any busy time with God. They're always spending busy time doing everything else. And that's why my excuse for not doing what is good and right. Because see, I'm so busy living for me. And I'm so busy trying to take care of my life that the devil eats it up.
Amen.
But this is a powerful statement. I don't want you to think about it. See, there's things that we ought to sit down and meditate with this. This is what's, we have the keys here to what we bind and what we loose. We do. My God. Think about that. This is authority put into my hands. What am I going to do about this? And really give thought. The 20th century New Testament says of that verse, he said, I'll give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatever you forbid on earth will be held in heaven to be forbidden. And whatever you allow on earth will be held in heaven to be allowed. I mean, think about the responsibility of that. You know, everybody today wants to be in charge. But there's one thing I've learned about people over the years. Everybody would like to be in charge, but 99.9% of the people that want to be in charge don't want the responsibility. You want to understand this, whether you take the responsibility of these verses or not, you're going to pay the penalty whether you do or not. These are the keys given. Whether you use them, misuse them, abuse them, don't use them. Understand, down here, if we want to control things, there's nobody's passive. If you decide you want to be, that can be your own detriment. You want to be passive. Say, well, you know, I don't want this responsibility. Too bad, it's here. You know, you have a responsibility living in this earth.
Amen.
There's a lot of terrible places to live because nobody takes responsibility. Nobody wants to do that. You know, we want to get the government to take all the responsibility. You do harsh. You know, I don't take care of things in my life, and when it falls apart, somebody else ought to fix it. You know, it's like this. And that's what we got. And so what happens is the government becomes God, and you only get what government can give you. Most Christians live in that place. They only live to where whatever somebody else can give them or take care of them or whatever else.
Amen.
People live in fear, you know. My God, what if my company closes? Yeah, what happens? You might have to trust God. That'll be a new one. Right? I'm not, come on. You know, we talk about faith and believing God, but there's things that become fear for us. Yet it says, we have in this verses that they're the authorities held to us. What am I saying? What am I really believing? What am I really? You know, whatever I bind on earth, bound, whatever I loose. You know, I'm going to lose some bucks to me. I'm going to bind the devil from robbing my life.
That's right. Hallelujah.
See, we have the authority. We would not be afraid of things if we really believed we had authority.
Amen.
See, we think everybody else and everything else in this earth is in charge. They're not. Now, I want you to get a hold of this because you need to understand this. One of the problems in this area that people have is because of the area of power. And it comes down to this, really little faith in God's power, very little faith in God's power. It's number one, authority is of no value without power to back it up. See, who backs up the authority? Number one, I don't. I don't back the authority up. I'm just told to use it. You know, when I worked at Keith Reese Candy Company, I was in the department, I'm in charge. Now, I'm in charge, but I wasn't the power to back it up. So there was somebody else, others who were over me backed up what I did. So if people didn't listen to me, I wasn't the guy that were to stop. They had to deal with the other people because they were the power that backed it up. This is why it's like today, police have a terrible time because police have nobody to back them up because the people, the mayors and all that stuff are cowards and they do everything and all they do is play for votes and the poor cops get out there set left to themselves. Well, most Christians believe that's the shape that they're in. They really don't have any confidence that God will back them up. See, when I was always like this. You know, I was always the guy, if I stand on God's word and he don't back me up, I don't need to serve him or follow him. He's worthless. That's why I went for a run when I had a heart attack. God will back up my words. Whatever I'll bind and whatever I'll loose, he'll back it up.
Amen.
I didn't back it up. I didn't heal me. He is the power behind authority.
Amen.
And if you don't walk in your authority, he has nothing to give power to you for. Everybody wants the power to come, then I'll do it. It's like the police. If they don't do anything, they don't need power backing them up if they don't do nothing. See, these things are really important. This is the keys. We want move of God. The move of God comes like this. I studied revivals years ago. I got into studying different revivals and how God worked and did things. And I found that patterns were always pretty much the same about it. There would always be one or two people would come along and they just thought God do anything for them. And they would just go out and they would do stuff and God would back them up. They would do things seem crazy, but God would back them up. But you know, they didn't wait for God to move. If you're waiting for God to move, you'll be here next year waiting for God to move. You'll be here the next year waiting for God to move. You'll be here for the next year waiting for God. And you'll still be here. All these, there's going to be a move of God. God don't move unless we move. The keys were given to you and me. You and I have the keys. We want to move of God. Are we doing things that cause God's power to move?
Amen.
Are we doing things? This is why. You know, I found this. I don't spend a lot of time praying about what I know or think. I spend, you know, better. I'm better just praying in tongues and let God reveal things. That I can get thoughts outside of my human ability. People spend too much time in the natural. Most praying Christians do is 99% natural and maybe a little bit of supernatural. And you know why? Then things just go mostly in the natural. You see, getting over, you know, is getting yourself out of the place of your mind and in your thinking. You know, it's one thing, as the Lord told me numbers of years ago, he talked about the last day move of God. He said, this move that it will come in, he said, it can't be brought in by people who are not spirit-filled. Because he said, they can't pray things that they don't know about. See, You need to understand, you and I, if we're spirit-filled, we can pray about things we don't know about. If you only pray by your mind, you only pray about what you know about, and you may not even know that well. Because remember, we don't see people's motives. We don't see what drives things. We don't see the spirits behind stuff. We only see things in the natural. We see what people naturally do, but we don't know their motives. You know, people do good things for bad with wrong motives. Their motives ain't right. They're good things, and we look good. That's a good person. We wouldn't know a good person if he fell on top of us.
Amen.
Because we don't know motives. God knows motives. He knows why people do what they do. Like the Lord spoke to me and told me, he said, one time doing some study, he said, motives, everything. Why you do it. So you can take and do things that are right, but you're doing it for the wrong reasons. Most people, they want to follow God, they want to do things for God, but they want to do it to be seen, and they want to do it from their standpoint. You know, I want to be somebody. Well, I'm already somebody. If you're trying to be somebody, well, then you need to get in the Word a while till you find out who you really are. If you're trying to be something, forget it. We have enough of them out there. There's enough of those people of, I want to be seen. You know, I want Jesus to be seen.
Amen.
Because if you want to be seen, I'm just going to tell you what's going to happen. You ain't going to give Jesus the glory. You're going to do things, and you might use his name, but really, I hope they're looking at me. We're not doing that. We want Jesus magnified. So why do I do what I do? And we need to understand, because this all has to do with this authority thing. It's our motives and everything. Authority. Hallelujah. You know, if we're a body, and we really are, then our authority, we should look at, well, what is best for the body? What is best for God's plan and purpose in here? You know, where do we fit? This is one of the things is if we're given, I mean, the church, I mean, it's a phenomenal thing. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. I mean, just sit down and think about, is that really true? If that is, boy, we could use some real revelation about that. We could use a lot of other things. I like what the Amplified Classic says on that scripture. That's really good. It says, I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind, declare to be improper and unlawful on earth, must be what is already bound in heaven, and whatever you loose, declare lawful on earth, must be what is also loosed in heaven. I like that from the standpoint because it gives the idea that you have to know what heaven's doing too. And we do. See, we want to have success with this. We don't want to use authority that hurts us because it sure can. Israel did it. You know, God said, here's a perfect will. They said, well, we want a king. God got fed up with it. Let them have their king. Let them have it. Give them what they want. See, well, God will never give you something if it's not his will. I've heard that said so many times. It's like, oh, how stupid can you get? People never read the Bible. God all the time. God would come with a prophet, tell them what his perfect will is, but if they keep it up, here's the judgment. And they said, let's take the judgment. Let's go do this evil stuff. What do you think? Did God say, well, no, I didn't want that for them, so it didn't happen. And it's not the way it works. Evil is going to bring judgment. Always works out that well. And it's usually not pretty. And so we need to get our minds focused on that fact. We're dealing with authority. The authority that Jesus has, he has delegated in the earth because here is the place where God's will needs carried out. He doesn't have a problem in heaven. Jesus is not going to do things without the church. You know, I drove up here tonight, and you know, my head and body were in the same car. And then, you know what? My head was thinking about where I wanted to go, but you know what? My body had to steer the car, had to put my foot on the accelerator. It's the way it works. There's a revelation the church needs bad. The church thinks there's two different vehicles, and God driving one and we're in another. And they don't realize, no, that isn't the way. God's will is carried out. Look at the whole Bible. Why would God have prophets talk about things of the future if man wasn't going to do anything with it, God was going to do all this stuff? Well, then what on earth was all this stuff about? What's all this stuff written for? What is it? Is this just a fantasy? Something to just keep us occupied some because, you know? What is it? No, it's because here God has always been doing the working. God, you think God didn't know Adam was going to sin? But the first thing he did is gave him authority over the earth. First thing he did to him, created him, gave him authority over the earth. And they never changed. God has always been delegating his authority to man in the earth. Jesus comes and operates just like a man. And what did he do? God gives him authority to operate. He's got God's will is getting carried out through a man in the earth. It always is. Always, always. Don't believe what these people teach about all this stuff and things they talk about. I've heard ministers say, well, God really don't need you. Well, and you don't need me. And I think about it. Yeah, well, then why don't you quit and go do something somewhere and quit annoying us? You know, dear God, how can you talk so different? Why did God do this to save man and he don't need you? Would you die for something you didn't need? No. See, I don't need that, but I'll tell you what, I'm going to give my life for it. I don't need that. You know, God, out of all of our craziness, needed us. My words, he ought to have had his head checked. Why would he have needed us? But he did. You know, I ain't going to argue with the subject. He did. He died because he wanted me. He wanted me. I was called before the foundation of the world. For this, everything was ever created. Ed was called, and God knew what he was called to do before the foundation of the world. God needed Ed to help carry out his will in the earth. He needed me. See, if you don't know what you're for, you'll walk around and think, well, you know, I'm just trying. You know, we got to make the Bible personal. Am I saved? Do we have this power? Did God give us and make us what we really are? Are we really priests and king? Are we really anointed by God? Can we really cast out devils? Can we really lay hands on the sick? Well, now see, that revelation needs to come to the church. It's mostly not in the church today. It stays in the book. It stays in the book. We like reading about it. We even like sometimes talking about it. But this, believe it, it's true because when you, my God, look what God made me into. See, you're not special from that standpoint because every believer can cast out devils. Every believer can lay a hand on the sick. Every believer. So, you know, you're not special. Now, I know that makes some people young. Well, I'm special. Yeah. I'm a special, you know, that there comes with pride. You know, I'm this special person. You know. I might have a different gift. I ain't special because, you know, when it comes down to following the Word of God, I can't have no more in my life than I believe in walking right in the Word, and neither can you. So none of us are special. Nobody gets a free ride. There ain't one. Salvation's free, but I'm going to tell you what. To drive the salvation car, you're going to have to put gas in it. It requires faith and actions. It's going to require those for it to work. You know? It probably has pedals in it, so you better get pedaling. See, most people, they don't ever move. They just stay in the same, they're in the garage, you know. They sit in the garage, they open the door every once in a while, look out there and say, yeah, boys, isn't that incredible. Close the door again. That's we're back in the car. One of these days, we're going to drive. One of these days, God's going to do a miracle. Yes, it's getting you out of the garage. That's the first miracle. But you know, we need to, I really believe there's some of these things, these basic things that we need to come down and just get ourselves where this stuff becomes so real to us. Amen. Of what has been given to us. And, because number one, I've learned over time is the more I get hooked into these things, the less I get concerned about my future, the less I get concerned about things ahead. When I see things in this nation going on, people worry about, you know, I really get sort of tired of hearing, like, I get, you know, emails from ministries, and they're always in a war and in a fight. They don't rest at all. You know, they're just, you know, it's, oh man, they're still fighting, like, you know, with abortion. They want to save lives, but they're worried. Oh, look what the government did. Look, they did this. And oh, they're just on and on. It's like, shut up.
Amen. Say it again.
What are you doing about it? Other than naturally complaining about it, trying to get me send you money every time you send an email on 400 of them a month. And then, you know, it's just like, it's all the, we're naturally fighting everything. We're not using authority at all.
Right.
And it get people into worry. Oh, you say every time something in the natural changes, it's like, oh, did you see what they did?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, no. So now I just block the emails and stuff. I don't want to hear from them. I don't need things to worry about.
Amen. Preach, right.
Let's hook up with heaven. If they spend as much time wanting and would stand in authority where they are, there was a lot already been changed.
Amen.
See, you use authority, you know, we you go into these things about, you know, concerning these things, because one of the things that, one of the revelations that was given, by God concerning the, in Revelation, the third chapter in verse 7 says this, and I want to read to you, it says, to the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, these things says he who is holy, he who is true, he who has the key of David, he also opens and no one shuts and shuts and no one opens. Revelation 3:7. These keys can open things and shut things. See, we see a constant of this where things improve for a while, then they go back to a mess. Why? Because the church does not use their keys, spiritual keys. They use natural keys all the time. They're trying to naturally change things and they just go back to what they were. The devil will come along. You naturally trying to do things, you know, it's just, I watch with people. You get people to change and do things for a while in a certain way, you know, people want to change. But no time, they're back to doing what they did before. It's because it's all been natural. All these natural prayers, all these things haven't been changed. The things that bring along the spirits, dealing with the spirits. You're right. We wrestle not against flesh and blood.
Amen.
There's a revelation that the church needs because they don't have it. They're constantly wrestling flesh and blood. They're constantly trying to change things naturally, trying to change people naturally. It doesn't work. We're trying to have, you know, good programs and we're doing this. I mean, when I saw it, when the churches started into these, you know, 12-step programs, they're all based on natural things and natural stuff, you know. You got to get up, their whole idea is, you know, if you have a problem in your life, you get up and every time you're at the meeting, you confess about your problem. You know, exactly opposite what the Bible tells you. You're supposed to be confessing the answer, and they tell you to confess the problem.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they tell you things like, you need to believe in a higher power. You know, I've had Christians thought that was really neat. The devil's a higher power.
Mm-hmm.
How stupid can Christians get, go along with that stupid? There's only one power I want to believe in, and that's Jesus Christ. And if you're believing in just a higher power, you can be hooked up with demonic powers that operate through the rest of the gods that go on in all these religions.
Amen. Preach.
Higher power. No wonder people can't get free for the rest of their life. They're trying to quit drinking, trying to quit do this, trying to quit doing that, trying to do this. You know, why? Because they never get free. They're bound. They turn around and go to a thing, and instead of using their authority to bind the problems and things that they have and bind the spirits in operation, they walk around and they loose their problem by telling everybody about it and, you know, say, you know, I'm a this and I'm a that. I got this and I got this is my problem. I got this. Well, you said you got it. You can't get rid of it. You said you got it. You have it. You know, Jesus said he took your infirmities and bore your sickness, and everybody's running around, man, I got a cold, I got a this, I got a that. Well, Jesus didn't say you had one.
Amen. Amen.
Say, I have a cold. Well, good, you can't pray for me. Why? You declared it belongs to you. I ain't stealing from you. You ain't giving that thing to me. I ain't declaring that. Hallelujah. I got healing. That's what I got.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Hallelujah.
I ain't trying to get it. I got it. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Jesus got it for me.
Thank you, Lord.
But see, people walk around and say things and we do things. We can bind and loose and heaven's up there going, oh, good grief. Here they go again. And they keep talking to me about healing. And they keep loving their sickness. They can't keep their mouth shut about it.
Preach.
They keep claiming it's theirs.
Mm-hmm.
What are you binding and loosing? See, I'm buying sickness and disease.
Amen.
I'm not taking that junk. Man, I had enough of that before I was saved. I had all I ever wanted. So I'm not declaring more of it. See, I know what people don't say, because you get around other people and they want to say the devil will always send you. They'll send you a ton of Christians trying to get you to confess something else.
Come on.
Do you have a cold? No, I don't. Thank you. But you will have one. And I'm going to bleed for you. I'm going to loose the devil with colds. Chase you down. And everybody's going to come here. Do you have a cold? Do you have a cold? Do you have a cold? If we talk about your problems, man, that's going to really fix things. We'll all feel a lot better. People love to talk about sickness. They love to talk about... God gave us the ability to bind and loose, and all we do is loose bad stuff all the time. Our mouth is constantly loosening the problems.
Amen.
Can't wait to listen to the news. I'm telling you what, all the evil stuff that's been loosed out there, and we can talk about it. Did you hear this? Did you hear that happen? Did you hear this? Did you hear that? Did you hear? Yeah, hallelujah. We heard it, and we ain't confessing. I heard it,
amen.
And I learned to ignore it. Hallelujah. See, people down in Texas, they don't need people talking about your problem.
That's right.
They need to stand. Those people be blessed.
Amen.
Sitting around talking about, well, what are those poor people, and they lost their kids. Start praying for God to bring His comfort to those people. Not saying, oh, I feel so bad. Why are you feeling bad when you can do something good for them? And it ain't just sending them money.
Amen.
But the church instead looses. Oh, I just can't understand how bad they must be. What do you want to try to figure that one out for anyhow?
Amen. Amen.
We're the people that can bring comfort, hallelujah, in the Spirit. Because they got enough demons down there without us using our voices to loose more of them.
Amen.
Oh, I just don't know how they do. I just don't know. Oh, God ain't big enough. He can't comfort them in their trouble. I mean, their kids are in heaven. Isn't that awful?
Mm-hmm.
My God, they're going to have to see him again. They could have been all sinners' kids. Well, they must have been better off if they were. Because they went, the kids went to heaven. Mm-hmm. They stay on the earth with hellish parents. That ain't going to work out well. But see, we Christians don't live like Christianity is working. I don't live like it works. We don't live in this place of authority that we have. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Praise God, those kids are with Jesus.
Amen.
And if you asked them, and you, if Jesus took you to heaven, you saw them, and they'd say, do you want to go back? And they'd look at you like, you nut.
Yeah.
I ain't leaving here.
Amen.
See, I'm here in the glory with Jesus, living in this place. Boy, I'd sure like to get back and live with Mom and Dad. See, this is all about our personal feelings and all
Amen.
Of our things out here.
That's right. Yeah.
Nobody ever cried for somebody left who left and went to heaven. It was their own sorrow is why they cry. It's about them. It ain't about that person at all. It doesn't
Amen.
Have a thing to do. It's about poor old me. I'm here.
Yeah.
I could want to make me cry too. You know, say, dear Lord, I want to go too. Now see, people don't like to hear that, but that's the truth.
Amen.
Why would we, a person went off to heaven? See, man, I got a vacation and I'm going to Hawaii for a month. Oh, he's not even for a month. He has to go to Hawaii. What a terrible thing. See, if we really believe these good things, see, we're down here in this earth, and I'm going to tell you what, there's enough sorrow that goes on without us creating it.
Amen.
The whole point of living in this life of faith is when we look at these things, that Lord, we don't sorrow like the world does.
Amen.
We don't sorrow like they do. You know, we need to have, you know, about a month or so ago, there was a guy who, people were going on vacation. They were Christian folks. They were from Lancaster County, actually. A young guy from Virginia hit their car. He was drunk and their two kids were killed. But I'll tell you, this parents had the best attitude. I thought, my God, we could get most Christians in the attitude that this family had about their kids. You know, they weren't, you know, this thing happened, but you know, we got to live on. We got to go on here. We have a job to do here in this place and our kids are in heaven and we're not that guy. And he's got enough trouble without us, you know, enough trouble. He has enough. This is the way people think. And they talk about, you know, and especially I get around spiritual people and I wonder, what spirit you got? People need to change the way they think about things. Get in our minds. Like Marietta Davis said, she said, no parent would ever cry if they lost a child if they knew what happens to them when they get to heaven. She said they'd never weep. God pray that, we're supposed to pray that God's will done on earth like in heaven. If we really believe there's any truth in that, we would sure pray a whole lot different.
Amen.
Our thoughts would be a whole lot different. We must think heaven's a hellish place because we ain't trying to get it here. I know this stuff gets sort of meddling. We got to make some changes. We're calling, we want to move of God. How do we think God is and what he does?
Mm-hmm.
You know, look at Apostle Paul. I mean, when he went through the stuff that he went through, he talks about the suffering that he talked about the joy that, you know, him following God, you know, I'm doing the will of God was the most important. You know, he's doing something in the earth that he's reaching people. His attitude, all the suffering he went through, and you know, 99% of Christians don't go through 10% of his suffering. But you'd think they went through 100 times more than he did. And it's like, we got to get this stuff out of our minds that you get, you know, over where we're thinking heavenly thoughts. We're thinking of the grace and the goodness of God that he can take me through anything.
Hallelujah.
That he can comfort me in the worst situation that would ever come or would ever happen. He is able to do that for me.
Amen.
That my situation's not above where he's at.
Amen.
All the suffering that he did is so we don't have to suffer all this here and that stuff. Hallelujah. See, we got to get ourselves over there. Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. We get over thinking that. What do we do to control here? See, the world needs something stable, something that is not shaken or moved. See, that's one thing is, like you look at the Apostle Paul, he wasn't shaken or moved. No matter what he went through, he wasn't shaken or moved. See, I want to be like that.
Amen.
I want to think, look, no matter what goes on in my life, whether it's good or bad, I'm staying with Jesus and God's going to do me good and I'm going to follow. I'm just going to do what's right. I'm going to walk what's right. I'm not going to get over. I'm not going to get ugly and mad about whatever's going on and whatever's happened. All it just comes into self-centeredness, selfishness and things out of there. And what it leads us to lack of faith. It destroys our faith. God is good all the time.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. He knows how to save us and he knows how to keep us.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Thank you.
And so let's walk in the light of that. Let's keep ourselves into that area.
Amen.
Glory to God.
Amen.
Whatever we bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Get over that thing. See, I just know this. If we ever grab the depth of the possibilities in this, what it would lead you and I to.
Amen. Preach.
It's like, my God. It's such a revelation.
Mm-hmm.
And it's been treated in a very narrow way. And it's like, no. Lord, show me the depths. I want to know the depths of this
Amen.
Stuff. I want to understand Amen. This thing. I want to be able to cooperate you. I want to know how to bring some of that heaven into the earth. See, when we talk about revival, that's what we want is the heaven in the earth. We got enough hell. Let's quit messing with it.
Mm-hmm.
We can bind devils. We can cast them out.
Amen, man. Thank you, Jesus.
We can do that. And stop and say, Lord, you see what really needs to be changed. I don't.
Amen.
I don't see everything. I don't know everything. I don't know everything about every person. You know, there's things that God revealed to me about me I never noticed till He showed me.
Amen.
There's things you don't know you as well. You'd be a whole lot different if you knew yourself well. It's one of the things I found out. You get around and God knows He sees what we don't. And I want to know, I'll tell you what, I want to be able to not just run around and be a guy with a six-shooter pulling out just firing all over the place. Mm-hmm. We're given these wonderful keys of authority, and we want to be able to target the things that need to be changed and done. And let's get out of this. We're not wrestling against flesh and blood.
Amen.
But principalities, powers, rulers. Amen. Devils are doing things.
Mm-hmm.
And if we don't get them stopped, all the rest of the stuff is just playing around.
Amen. Say that again.
Because the devil will just stay doing stuff to people and doing stuff to people. He'll just keep it up. It's just like me, no matter as a sinner, no matter how I wanted to change, no matter how I didn't want to drink, I couldn't stay away from it. A spiritual change came and it changed it all.
Hallelujah.
No, Christians are usually trying to get people to do things naturally. They're trying to get them out of their habits naturally. They're always in the natural. You know, why don't you quit doing that? Well, they can't quit if they quit doing it. My words. A lot of people quit a lot of things. They're driven. And the people that see it that way, they're driven in another way. They're just as messed up with the devil and can't see what the real problem is. Trying to get everybody changed naturally. Don't worry. It's one of the things I found out myself a long time ago. If I really want to change something, I'm going to have to do something spiritually to overcome things.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, your willpower ain't that big. Get over yourself.
Amen.
your willpower ain't that strong. Well, you'd know that because we'd never make a mistake if we could just do it by willpower.
Amen.
We'd never miss it. Willpower ain't enough. There's a God power. And I'm going to tell you what, it'll do things to us we could never do for ourselves.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And that's what we want to yield to. Father, we just want to say thank you tonight. Father, you got a plan, and we want your plan. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father, I want to thank you, Lord God, because truly you did love us. You had great mercy on us. But Father, you handed us an authority that is so out of sight and phenomenal that it's incredible. Lord God, we need to understand and know more about it. Holy Spirit, open these things to us and reveal things to us about these things. We want to use it right and use it wisely. We want to be a blessing. Lord God, we're living in a world where so many people are just living under a heavy curse. They're just living, Lord God, from day after day is to get by, trying to be happy, doing all kind of things. Lord God, people running here, drinking, drugging, doing all kind of stuff. Everybody trying to be happy, trying to come up with a new thing so that they can enjoy, a new toy to play with, a new something or other. But Lord, there's no peace.
Amen.
They don't have peace. And there's only one who can bring that, and that's Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace. And Lord God, to know that peace, and that peace is nothing natural about it. That peace will sustain people, Lord God, in the midst of turmoil and trouble. Lord, hallelujah, that man can be at calm and in rest and trust in his God. Hallelujah. And that's where we want to walk, and we want to be able to take people there, and we can't take people to where we're not.
Amen.
Where we haven't been, that we don't know where it's at. And Lord God, reveal these things to us. Hallelujah. Show us. We desire to be changed. We really do want to be taken from glory to glory. Hallelujah. Lord, we're just not trying to get a glory. Hallelujah. We want to live and walk in one that we constantly step higher and higher and higher. That the will of Jesus Christ is done in the earth, that men will be saved and glorify the name of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. That name which is above every name and that wonderful revelation of the Messiah, hallelujah, lives rich in this earth and is on the voice of the church. Hallelujah. Salvation is under no other name. Hallelujah. There is only one Messiah. There is only one Lord. And we thank you, Father God, that you'll reveal these things in the church of Jesus Christ. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.